Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. I had pre-recorded and batch-recorded a running back, one injury away type matrix podcast probably over the weekend or so. And I think I told a number of people when we discussed it in the group me chat that I was going to be in the hospital with my daughter. She was having a surgery on her lip. She's fine. Everything's good. But I'd gone, 25, 30 minutes on running backs, lots detailed. And now it's like 96 hours later. And I'm like, well, I could do an addendum. And I was like, man, so many of these things have changed. So I scrapped the podcast and I'm going to re-record. So recording this end of the week here with some news on the running back situation. So here's a quick rundown of basically where we are. And then some things that we're going to watch for. I'm going to do a follow-up show on basically like 32 storylines to watch. And I think a lot of these ones are going to pop up in that. So hit them here and then we'll hit them again. So, all right. Jacksonville, James Robinson, Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde, the new one injury away, or step one in a running back room rebuild. Former connection with Ohio State, with Urban Meyer. So them bringing in somebody with some coaching experience there in the past, help character, all those things. And we know that I was listening to Lewis Riddick on the Athletic. He was interviewed recently, and it was a podcast. He talked a lot about when the Philadelphia Eagles did their dream team build. One of the things that they didn't do was get guys that fit their system. So Nnamdi Asamoah was a big example of that. And there was another cornerback too. I think it was Dominic Rogers Cromartie that they brought in to basically play the slot, and he didn't tackle. And so they did all these things, and it was a terrible fit. And one of the things that he said was, you kind of need that. You need guys that fit your system, that you sort of know, their work ethic, what kind of makes them tick. All of those things, it's really important. And that is why you see a lot of former coaches signing former players, or a lot of, former position coaches bringing their players with them to new teams. That is one of the reasons why. So that was pretty interesting and illuminating. I think a lot of people would just think, oh, that's just cronyism or whatnot, but that actually makes a lot of sense from a relationship organizational standpoint. So we'll see if that's the first step or the end of the road. If it's the first step, that's not great news for James Robinson. If that's what they're going to do to address the position, it's excellent news for James Robinson. So he's still a fulcrum player. All right, the Jets. LaMichael Perine's their existing option. We'll see what they're going to do. Some news that maybe James Conner was going to go there. They've been sort of quiet on that front. Plenty of picks to adjust the position if they wanted to. If they're going to stay pat with a quarterback, they'll have an opportunity to trade down and acquire more assets too. If they're going to take Zach Wilson, then they'll potentially trade Sam Darnold and have some options there as well. So for maybe additional running back help. So be on the lookout for that. I thought that was a potential landing spot Aaron Jones, but that wasn't. They did sign LaMichael Perine. They did sign Tevin Coleman to back up LaMichael Perine. So that's a notable look, interesting see there. Again, former connection there with San Francisco and Saleh and DOC. So that's an interesting scheme fit there. At least they know what they're going to get from Tevin Coleman. So interesting news there. Again, I'm not sure he's a full starter. I would guess of these moves, I would guess that he's one of the ones that's the first step and not the last step. I think it's more likely that Hyde's the last step. I think it's more likely that Malcolm Brown's the last step, for example, when we get there. Or Mike Davis, for example, would be the last step. Then it is that Tevin Coleman is the last step in this process. So be watching that. I think he's an interesting one, really deep in drafts, to take just a spec shot at, because I think he's got a better shot of starting than Perine. Okay, Houston, they have David Johnson. I was really excited about it. They bring him back, lock him in, guarantee him. Now they bring in Mark Ingram and Philip Lindsay. I think Philip Lindsay's intriguing in terms of if you're looking for a guy that could, hey, potentially be a player on your next contender a couple years down the line, he's the most likely one. So I don't know how they're going to build this, and you know, maybe we could change. I'm sort of lukewarm on David Johnson being a huge, huge threat. I think he's more on the running back two spectrum than running back one, but I could see him being more on the running back two flex spectrum than running back one, two spectrum, depending on how they want to treat Lindsey. So be on the lookout for that. The one thing that is curious about Lindsey is Denver just kind of like let him walk out the door, and we're never firmly committed to him. I don't know what's there, but that's curious to me. That's odd. So just be on the lookout for that and see if there's anything there. Turning to Atlanta, Mike Davis, potentially the lead guy. Those Mike Davis shares that we held on to, thinking, hey, he could be the one injury away guy for Carolina again. Those are suddenly very, very interesting shares that we didn't move on from. So that was one of those situations where you're like, oh, man, like, do I really want to bail for like a late third? Like, you know, it was like mid season, not on a contender. I'm like, it just seems like the wrong process. And like, it seems like there's things that he could do that could potentially be more valuable, you know, that he could sometime down the line be something, whether that's a one injury away guy or go someplace else and be a one injury away guy. Well, all of a sudden, no, it's a lot more interesting. Some trades just today. Him for 210. Him for Christian Kirk. Him for Chris Godwin. I'd love to know the story behind that one. You know, him and a couple of thirds and a second for Leonard Fournette. So he was included in a deal for Deontay Johnson as well. Bigger piece. I'm not really sure exactly what the rationale was for that either. Him for Gabriel Davis, so you like that side. Him, Cameron Brayton, 205 for Mike Gesicki. You know, so he has been involved in some trades. Those last ones were from a longer time ago. You know, were from earlier in the month. But yeah, the him for Chris Godwin one just yesterday, or just today, actually, as I'm recording this, him for Christian Kirk as well. So he is upticking in price. We're seeing him. He's going to be one of the cheaper guys. He should probably settle in. We'll see how real draft position filters out, but we should begin to see him up in the Chase Edmonds range of cost, because that's the kind of similar bets at this point. So any arbitrage there is something that I'm going to look for. I think ultimately he fits more as a starter than Edmonds does. He has shown more in that vein than Edmonds has. So given the two of them, Mike Davis is pretty darn interesting. All right, Joe Mixon back with Cincinnati. Giovanni Bernard, there's some news on him potentially being it was curious whether he's going to be a reworked contract or maybe a trade candidate or cut, that he would. It was ambiguous, the headline and some of the reporting in it, about exactly what they're talking about. But it does look like there's going to be potential interest from him if he were to become available. So I don't know if that's trade or cut or whatnot. But be on the lookout for that. That would open up Trayvon Williams and Samaje Perine as potential backup guys. Philadelphia, Miles Sanders a starter. Boston Scott the backup. Quizzical on that, right? I'm skeptical that that's going to stay the case. So we'll see there in terms of what they do with the position. I doubt that he's the firm one injury away guy come call it August. Detroit, DeAndre Swift, the lead guy. They bring in Jamal Williams. That puts Kerryon Johnson in a bind, whether that is they potentially look to trade him, whether that is, you know, they're going to let him play out his contract and walk in free agency. I guess the good news is that he'll still be in his mid-20s. He's not that old hitting free agency, the benefit of being a 21-year-old running back coming in. He'll be entering his final season here on his rookie deal. But the bad news is we've seen a lot of discouraging signs in terms of they draft somebody else, a lot of other guys working over him, they bring in Jamal Williams. So we don't know if that's necessarily injury durability related or what, but that's definitely a concern. So his price should fall. We'll be on the lookout for his price here coming up soon. In some drafts after the Shamal Williams news gets really baked in, but he's going to be later in the teens and startup rounds, I would imagine, because he's not even a firm one injury away guy. And Christian McCaffrey is basically without a backup right now, so we'll be on the watch for that. That's one that I think has some value. You know, Trenton Cannon, Reggie Bonifon are listed on the depth chart. I can't imagine that they do that again, but we'll see. Crazier things have happened. They let Mike Davis walk, which makes sense. I mean, I wouldn't think that you'd pay a backup couple million dollars a year, but let's see how they address the position. Melvin Gordon in Denver, Mike Boone's a backup, Royce Freeman's a backup. I actually thought Melvin Gordon and David Johnson were pretty closely linked in terms of their potential to be contending help this year. I definitely think Melvin Gordon's much more likely for that to be the case now than David Johnson. I still like David Johnson, but I think Melvin Gordon has much more upside this year specifically. So that would be the thing I'd watch for there. He's been pretty consistent in terms of his upside. So definitely on the lookout for him there to be potential, you know, running back two with some running back one upside, I would think. Maybe it's not necessarily like top six upside, but you could see like 10 to 12, him being a landing spot. That wouldn't be terribly surprising. Zeke and Pollard in Dallas, no real change. Don't expect that to change much. And, you know, maybe Pollard gets a little bit more workload, but I think it's still Zeke, the lead dog, with Pollard, the one injury way guy. It's a high-value situation. Saquon Barkley with the Giants returns as a starter off an injury. We'll see how that all goes. Devontae Booker, they bring in, can do a lot of things. Wayne Gallman, free agent, hasn't drawn any specific interest that we've seen yet, so we'll be on the watch for that. Now, could he potentially go to Arizona and they basically make it a committee? Right? I think that would be something that's not... That wouldn't be an unreasonable allocation of resources for Arizona. So we'll see there on what happens with Gallman as potentially being a, you know, the second or third wave of free agency type signing. But I do think he could, there's enough jobs out there. The Jets, you know, the backup to McCaffrey, you know, maybe Miami, heck, Pittsburgh, Arizona. That could make him potentially fantasy viable, fantasy interesting. You know, even further down, you sort of say, hey, could he be the one injury way guy to Eckler and in LA? You know, there's more opportunities there, I think, that he could potentially be involved with. So he's proven, I think, that he has the ability to play too. Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson, the two lead guys there in San Francisco. Be surprised if they really address the position with a lot of assets. They haven't done that recently, so that's a good thing. We don't want them really doing that. We like our shots on Mostert and Jeff Wilson, and basically this is pretty amazing when you look at this. Their running back depth chart right now, so I'm just looking at our lads, and they have labeled basically how they were acquired. So Jeff Wilson, college free agent. Raheem Mostert, just a regular street free agent. Jamichael Hasty, college free agent. Austin Walter, college free agent. Joshua Hokett, college free agent. And then they've got Jerick McKinnon, obviously a free agent off their depth chart. So literally no draft pedigree. So you'd love to see that and what they can do in the running game. So if I'm looking at that, there's a couple of ways I could go, hey, they found their type, or it's time to address the position, one of the two. And I'm kind of hoping that they're the team that goes with the street free agent aspect. We've seen that out of the Shanahan tree before. We can hope. We can hope. All right. So that would be the situation to monitor there. You know, if I'm sort of voting, I would, if I was to place a bet, you say over under, you know, 105 overall or 106, whatever the last pick of the third round is this year. I'm going to take the later, so I'm going to take the under, or the, I guess the over in terms of picks, you know, that it's later than that. It's day three or beyond that they address the position. So that's hopeful. We'll see with them. Austin Eckler, back from injury. They have Joshua Kelly, one of the least inspiring one injury away guys. He's pretty bad last year, so be on the lookout. Maybe they address that position. He's just a day three guy, so I could see them addressing the position, especially with some of Eckler's injury stuff, and keep building around Herbert. Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison, huge leverage opportunity in Minnesota. I don't expect that situation to change very much at all. Harrison, Michelle with White running it back in New England. Pretty cloudy situation. Not exactly sure how that whole situation is going to sort itself out. I'm interested in some of the Damian Harris trade possibilities, but I'm not sure that it's going to be super interesting in terms of his value. 108 and Damian Harris for 105. That's start one. A third and Damian Harris for Michael Pittman. Damian Harris for 108. That's an outlier. Sam Darnold and Damian Harris for... Yeah, that's something's wrong with that trade. There must have been other assets in there, maybe a Devy asset. Andy Dalton and 410 for Damian Harris and Superflex. Damian Harris for a second, Anthony McFarlane. Damian Harris and 110 for 107. That's actually pretty savvy in Superflex, so that's a pretty savvy one. Damian Harris and Nyheim Hines for 204. Damian Harris for 205. Damian Harris for Gus Edwards and Adam Thielen. So his range is all over the place. Like, I think there's a lot of different constructs that you could do with him. Actually, Damian Harris in 202 for Justin Jackson and a future first. That's an interesting one. So he's all over the place in terms of some of the valuations. He's definitely a pivot player. Think wide range of outcomes in terms of your deals. Really think all over the place in terms of how to use him, whether it's a pick upgrade, whether it's a pick plus a player downgrade, you know, him and some sort of swing deal. I think there's a lot of opportunities there. And all you need is one person to find it interesting in a 12-person league. And I don't necessarily hate the idea of using him as a move-up piece. Arizona back with Chase Edmonds, Eno Benjamin. Mixed messaging coming out of Arizona about how much they believe in Chase Edmonds. Could definitely see some movement in his price coming up. That'd be something I'm definitely watching for in terms of how he ends up being valued in these startup drafts that we're seeing. I have a hard time thinking that this is how they're going to address the position, but crazier things have happened. And, you know, ultimately, is this a scenario where he hasn't really had a ton of workload to actually see it happen? So he's running back 30, 1104 overall is his median. So the market's not really buying it. That's just in the past month or so here. I'll just break it down for the past 3 weeks or so. It's about seven drafts that we have. He's up, about a round, so mid-10th, 27th overall. So again, I don't think the market's totally buying this. Yeah, it's sort of valuing him in the starter range, but not up in the firm commitment starter range, which I would consider like the top 20 or so. So just keep that in mind. I don't think the market's totally reacting to this yet. Maybe when OTAs start rolling around, that'll happen. Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake, that's one that's pretty interesting in terms of how this whole situation boils down. Kenyon Drake, 12th round pick in the last 8 drafts that he's been in, 32.5 is his median draft position for running back. So that's pretty interesting. When you look at Josh Jacobs, 403, that's running back 12. So I do think in terms of whether we call it I derisively call it the dynasty intelligentsia, I think they're lower on Josh Jacobs than the market is. So again, he's firmly in that 12th range, and I just broke out the last 5 drafts or so kind of after the Drake news hit, and it still hasn't really moved him down all that much. So we'll be on the lookout for sort of how that happens as we go along here, but it hasn't bailed his stock out too low. I would note that Drake, there's news today on Roto World that they want to use him as essentially a receiver, that the Raiders are planning to use him as a receiver. And I'm not sure that I would read that to say exclusively as a receiver, but that's notable. And he has said that too. John Gruden, this is a quote, John Gruden said that he was going to use me in a multitude of ways, playing receiver, playing running back, just having the ability to kind of use my versatility as a weapon in the open field is something that really spoke to me. Insert running back is going to see time at wide receiver, and insert year is an annual offseason modif, though the Raiders do have one of the thinnest receiving depth charts. They also targeted their wide receivers at a league low 43.4% rate in 2020. So that's the news from Roto World. I think, you know, when we're thinking about this, think about how that might change the market. I think that Jacobs is probably still a buy. So I think anything that dropping his value out of the top 10 of the running back position, consider me in. And I just, this profile is rare. And the Kenyon Drake profile is much more replaceable than the Jacobs one is. That's just my take. Miami's another one is Malcolm Brown, the first or the last time they addressed the position. That's really the deal. And if it's going to be the last time they address the position, Myles Gaskin's going to be really interesting. One of the most efficient running backs in the NFL last year in terms of as a receiver. Love that. It was some negative touchdown regression. I did some tracking, and I'll probably do this again this year. If you basically just didn't use touchdowns in scoring, basically touchdown independent scoring, he's like a top six guy until he got hurt midseason or so there. But yeah, I mean, it was a pretty remarkable exercise that I did in terms of how much usage he was getting and how basically it was just his touchdowns that were holding him back. So I'm optimistic about him. And I think Miami's so damn smart and some of the stuff that they're doing, like they might be on to, hey, let's not spend a lot at running back. Like Malcolm Brown's fine as a running back too. We sort of know what he can do. Gaskin, like let's run him out. Let's see this happen. And we saw them get burned with bringing in, you know, spending at the position. We've seen them happen. We've seen that happen with them. So maybe that scar tissue is fresh in their mind where they just say, hey, let's not do that. It'd be awesome to see. Would love to see Myles Gaskin get a shot at being running back one. All right, Washington football team. The news is that they might actually keep the football team moniker. That would be interesting to see. And their owner is going to buy out the minority owners. So after all the news over the past year with that franchise, that is notable in terms of people thought he was going to need to sell the franchise, and now he's going to own it outright. So things can change quickly. J.D. McKissic, the backup, the one injury away guy, allegedly. I would imagine that they address the position, you know, whether that's they still have Peyton Barber, they have Lamar Miller as well. Michael Warren's on their depth chart. So we'll see there how that breaks out. That's a situation I'm going to monitor. Again, we don't know how Antonio Gibson holds up long term at the position. Just not sure on that yet. So we'll see. David Montgomery back in Chicago. They bring in Damian Williams on a one-year deal. Is he the one injury away guy? Be pretty interesting. Again, he hasn't played in a year, so we'll see with that. It's a reunion with his former coach in Kansas City, Matt Nagy. So we'll see there. That's something that I think you can definitely monitor as a potential one injury away guy. He fits the bill much more than Tariq Cohen does. They never really wanted to use Cohen in that role. So we'll watch for that. Jonathan Taylor back with the Colts. Marlon Mack's back. I don't buy this that he's like a real threat to Jonathan Taylor. I think it's more likely that injury saps him of his effectiveness than he's a real threat to Jonathan Taylor. So just keep that in mind. Jordan Wilkins, he's there as well. He's the one injury away guy that I want to own. Nyheim Hines is more of a satellite committee guy in fantasy more than he is like a real an injury replacement to Jonathan Taylor. I think his role is a little bit more independent. And I'm not sure, given the transition to Wentz, I'm not sure that that's really good for that role. So I'm pretty skeptical on Nyheim Hines going forward. Derrick Henry, the lead dog there in Tennessee, no surprise. Jeremy McNichols, Darrington Evans back. They let Foreman walk. We'll see if there's clarity on that one injury away situation, but I think that's an interesting one if there's actual clarity. Chris Carson back with Seattle, basically a one-year deal again. Rashad Penny, DJ Dallas as the one injury away guys. I'm pretty skeptical on Penny. I think if there's a guy I want to own to take like a deeper shot on, it's probably DJ Dallas. Pittsburgh, no news on James Conner coming back. We'll see if it's Anthony McFarlane, Samuel's there, or Benny Snell. I think they're going to address the position soon, but I don't know. And I don't really have a good take on who. It's not going to be Jalen Samuels. Like, I would be pretty confident in betting that. Maybe Benny Snell gets the first look. If McFarlane's someone that you can actually trade right now and you have him, I think that that's an interesting one. So if he's a guy that you can get like one of the uptick value prices between now and the draft, I'm all for that. So that would be, you know, the thing I would look for. He's running back 51 right now, 18th round. So I don't think the market's buying it. You know, he's behind notable guys like Gus Edwards and some other ones there. So, you know, Daryl Henderson, like he's way down the line in terms of priority. So I don't think the market's buying him either. So just be on the lookout for that. I think the market thinks that they're going to adjust the position. If they don't, there'll be some stark movement would be my guess. So, but just keep that in mind that they're probably going to adjust the position in some way, shape or form. The rest of these are pretty much straightforward. Cam Akers back with the Raiders, Daryl Henderson, but one of the better one in your way guys, Nick Chubb back with Cleveland, Kareem Hunt, one of the better one in your way guys, J.K. Dobbins back with Baltimore, him and Gus Edwards. We'll see how that breakdown goes. I think Dobbins is the clear guy. We'll see if it's more of like a 50-50, 60-40, 65-35 type split. I wouldn't, like, of the guys that are year two guys this year, right? So Dobbins, Akers, Swift, Taylor, and, you know, we'll throw Edwards-Helaire in there. That situation with Dobbins, like, Edwards is really good and much better than appreciated, and it's not a big-time receiving situation. So when you sort of look at that, like, that's not a great recipe for, like, a top five running back finish. Does he have really good running back two range of outcomes? Yeah, probably. But that might be a little bit – that might be an arbitrage situation I'm going to consider more and more as we go forward. Alvin Kamara, Latavius Murray back with the Saints. We'll see how that works out with the quarterback situation. Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Aaron Jones, I would note that deal looks much more like a one-year deal with three-yearly team options than it does look like a four-year commitment. So just keep that in mind. I've seen on some of the trade market and in some of the discussion on Twitter, A.J. Dillon's actually a buy now. I've seen that in some of the trade notifications and trade offers that I've gotten. You know, people basically trying to buy him for basically his rookie pick cost. I'm still holding. I think he was valued as rookie pick cost. Was he overpriced in startup drafts when Aaron Jones was in limbo? Yeah, probably. Like, I was never – he was basically priced. So the fascinating thing about him is he was basically priced at a market-implied number of like a 60% hit rate. And I sort of read that as just the back of the napkin math for me was 40% is about the injury rate of a top 24 running back. And so they were essentially pricing him as essentially a running back one. And he was like running back 20. And if you sort of did the math on that, again, that's not precise, right? If he got injured this year, would he still have some implied odds for future year? Yeah. So there was some – the market wasn't fully on board with, like, yeah, him being the 100% the guy. Probably like 80 or 90%, something like that would be the number that I would guess or would estimate based on, you know, just using some back-of-the-napkin math. And it never seemed all that good until, like, they didn't tag Aaron Jones. And then it seemed like, okay, like now it's probably like pretty close to the right price. And I said, I think it's pretty unlikely that he goes back. And again, if you sort of imply that price to mean like, hey, there's maybe like a 10 to 15% chance that Aaron Jones comes back or that he's not the starter in some way, shape, or form, like that's right. And that's ultimately what happened, right? So that's kind of how I broke that whole situation down. And it actually was, it turned out the, 10, 15%. Now, was I wrong on that? Was the market wrong on that? I'm not sure. There was a lot of smoke to the Aaron Jones leaving fire. It ultimately didn't turn out that way. You know, if we went back and could get a true estimate from his agent or something like that, it'd be interesting to find out how close to true the market was on him. So we'll see how Dylan's stock moves. I think it's going to move down, but maybe not necessarily as far as we think. Again, I think as the news gets out a little bit more on that Aaron Jones contract, Dylan's going to basically be in the same situation he was last year, which is now he's locked into a one injury away role he wasn't last year behind a guy that's essentially on a one-year deal. So I think that's an interesting situation to truly digest and think about now that we know the full story. Devin Singletary, Zach Moss, back with Buffalo. Matt Breida, brought in. And I think that's actually good news for Devin Singletary and Zach Moss, because that probably limits the likelihood that they bring in. They've been mocked for Najee Harris, for example, if Travis Etienne. I think that makes that less likely. You know, they need pass rush. They need difference-making guys. Running back isn't something that I think that they need, because I don't think that makes that much of a difference for them. I think that this sort of speaks to that. So I would be less likely to mock them being a running back there in the late first. I think Singletary is the best running back there. I don't think either of those guys is particularly high value. Clyde Edwards-Helaire back with Darrell Williams in Kansas City. So we'll be on the monitor for the Darrell Williams valuation for sure. Listen, is he the best running back? No. Do they trust him? Yeah. Is that pretty valuable in terms of that offense? Yeah. So, you know, he is down in the 25th round of startup draft still. That's just a value. I mean, he's going behind. This is some of the guys that he's going behind. Jamichael Hasty, Eno Benjamin, Mike Boone. This was a guy that was basically their most trusted option down the stretch this year. Jeremy McNichols, Carlos Hyde, Duke Johnson, Boston Scott. I mean, you just look at that, you're like, man, Darrell Williams is still undervalued. So it'll probably be the story with him for the rest of his career. So, again, I'm just going to keep pouncing on that stock, because that's pretty nice. I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire more than probably the market does. Last but not least, Tampa Bay. We'll see what happens with Leonard Fournette. He's the big shoot-a-drop here, I think, still. Ronald Jones, Keyshawn Vaughn potentially sitting there. Ronald Jones has basically got no receiving work. So I think this is an opportunity for Keyshawn Vaughn to really have some upside more than it is for Ronald Jones. So we'll see how that situation works out. I think they're going to try and make Fournette work, but we'll see. He could have some other landing spot potentials too. Miami would be interesting. You know, the Jets would be interesting as well. So be on the watch for that. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Till next time, continue to embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.